It's 8 a.m. in L.A., it's 5 p.m. in Berlin, and it's time for the Squirrel News Podcast. This is the show that brings you news about solutions all over the world. It's all about solutions journalism. I'm Ed Krasnick, a Jew in L.A. My partner is Jonathan Vitter, a German in Berlin. It's the only show where a Jew and a German come together to solve the world's problems. The only one. This is it. Squirrel News is a constructive news app that curates solutions journalism, news stories from around the globe. You can find it for Android and iPhones everywhere, or you can go for everything. You go to squirrel-news.net, squirrel-news.net. Right now, it's time to meet my partner, the founder of Squirrel News. Problems fear him. Problems fear him. They run from this man, because he is mostly solutions-oriented, 99.9% solutions-oriented, Mr. Jonathan Vitter. Jonathan, how are you? And good evening.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, Ed. I'm good, thanks. I'm okay, yeah, everything all right.
Everything's all right. Well, I'll tell you, this is a really interesting show. What happened was I did an interview with this incredible organization called Rehearsal for Life, Urban Improv. It's in Boston. I come from Boston. Where was this when I was growing up? Not there. But they have been doing this kind of work since 1992. And I did an interview with them because oftentimes Jonathan and I live in different hemispheres. So as a result, it's kind of hard to get us all together at the same time. So I did an interview with them. You're going to hear that interview today, and we'll talk a little bit about it. I have to tell you, rehearsalforlife.org is the organization. It is out of Boston, as I said, and it's an organization that uses the arts, improv, role play, theater games, and music to teach kids that about communication of all kinds and that life issues can be rehearsed. You know, we prepare for everything in our lives. We rehearse everything. We prepare meals. We prepare for trips. We prepare for study. We prepare for all kinds of things. The one thing that we don't prepare for is our communication and how to deal with our thoughts and feelings. Other than that, we prepare for everything. So for years, I have thought to myself, you know, through improv, what if you could rehearse life issues? What if you could rehearse the things that come up? Well, this is what they do with kids. They have school kids come in, or they go to schools and businesses. And then what they do is they create a scenario, like a life scenario, and then they freeze the scenes. They have actors and they have musicians and they have people doing the scenes from life. And then they freeze it and they bring a kid out of the audience and they put the kid in the scene. And then the kid interacts in the scene with the actors, and they coach how to communicate different choices, different ways, and then they talk about it. So what they're teaching you how to do is how to problem solve, how to create solutions, how to deal with emotions and thoughts in the moment, and how to rehearse it. I can't think of anything more important than rehearsing these kinds of things. Rehearsing communication skills, rehearsing thoughts and feelings, rehearsing. And one of the things that I love, which you'll hear, is that it doesn't always work out. In fact, a lot of times it doesn't work out. And so they teach kids how to work with things that don't work out and how to deal with the feelings of disappointment, of frustration, etc. So on today's show, we have three of Rehearsal for Life's members. We have Faith Soloway, who's the artistic director and the co-writer of the Amazon series Transparent, by the way, the hit Amazon series Transparent. We have Jackson Girard, who's the associate director, and we have Holly Tarnauer, who's the group leader. So basically what you're going to hear is an interview that I did with those three people. And Jonathan, just to get your thoughts on this briefly before we jump in here.
Yeah, I think this is a very promising approach. And it's not only promising because it's already working, right? I mean, they've been at many hundreds of schools, or like more than 100.
And, oh, yeah.
They've had impact on thousands, tens of thousands of children. And I always wanted to get my daughter into theater class at her school. And now that I know this program, I'm even thinking about like suggesting that to her school, because that's even more interesting than just playing theater, right? This improv is bringing it to a new level. And I think it's exactly what those children need.
Okay, so that is what we're going to hear. And now we're about to meet three of the members of Rehearsal for Life. Find out more information, you go to rehearsalforlife.org. Here's my conversation with Faith Soloway, Jackson Girard, and Holly Tarnauer from Rehearsal for Life. Holly, when you come into this, are you using, like, how is this done in terms of kids coming and rehearsing? What is it, improv skills? Is it theater games? Is it a combination of those things? Of course, music is part of it. Dance is part of it. Movement is part of it. It's the arts. But talk about the improv part of it.
Yeah, so it's a total combination. Absolutely. So it's all about sort of improvising around the situation to practice a sort of real life consequence or a real life situation where you can either escalate the conflict or de-escalate. And that's really fun. And then, of course, there are some other just silly games and improv games that we use to, you know, get kids out of their shell, really build community within the classroom, which is so important. But it's really about sort of creating realistic situations where the kids feel like they can actually see themselves in those characters potentially.
It's spectacular. That's all it is to me. It's spectacular. Okay. So now, Jackson, what do you see? What kind of scenarios come up, and what are kids bringing in their own scenarios? Like, will this start a situation where they're like, well, I got, you know, somebody's talking stuff about me and it's not true. What do I do?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I mean, this happens. That happens, what you just described, all the time. And that's kind of the hope, right? Getting back to what Holly said, we hope that the students see their own conflicts in what we do. That being said, we do have a curriculum that has topics that we will sort of bring into the space, ranging anywhere from racism and homophobia all the way to the other side of self-esteem and identity. The hope, again, being that when they come into the scenes, we can give them corrective emotional experiences that might be able to overtake some of the more maladaptive ones they might learn from not rehearsing these kinds of things, from not communicating about these kinds of things, from not having the space to have their voice heard, especially in surrounded by comfortable others such as ourselves, but also embracing the discomfort that comes from saying like, hey, I experienced a microaggression, and I've only just now in this space been able to admit that that is what happened, because I didn't have either the vernacular, I didn't know what microaggression meant, I didn't realize that what I had felt was this thing that you just named, or even that other people had gone through it too, right? And I think that's one of the most powerful things about what Rehearsal for Life, about what we do in the classroom.
This Absolutely. Is, so you're doing like 100 things in this process that are heroic to me, 100 things. And it's absolutely fascinating. I mean, as you're talking, I'm thinking this is great that they're doing this for kids in schools. This is what families need to do. This is what therapists need to do. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk in the world. The problem is there's not a lot of rehearsal. And there's not a lot of practicing.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's all theoretical. It's all like, you know, I had this feeling. I had this thought. It went by me. Well, what does it sound like? What do you do?
This isn't just students that need this. It's also adults in the same, like adults need this kind of play as well. Adults need to be able to understand that they can give to a space, that they can empower those who don't have power.
That you can do versions of this in your own life. Mm-hmm. Like if you were a parent, you don't have to be a scientist. You don't have to be Robert De Niro. You don't have to be Meryl Streep. Like you can do any of this in your life. Your kid comes to you with a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's freeze it. This is a thing you can teach parents and kids. freeze it. And if it's in your life, if there's nobody around and you're just thinking this in your head, you could freeze it in your head. And mm-hmm. you could say, wait, thoughts, feelings, freeze. And I'm going to say, wait a minute. I don't believe this stuff. Mm-hmm. This is not true. Is it true? It's not. Just that pause will change your mental health. Just knowing that you could take a pause.
Yeah. And I think that that's one of the reasons that programs like this are so important for everyone, because it allows you just that, it allows you this privilege that the modern society, like the modern societies that we sort of embody, don't always give us. And this is sort of a space here where we're not in the business of erasing discomfort, right? We're not in the business of doing that. We're in the business of trying to embrace it. We're in the business of trying to acknowledge it and give you the tools to continue acknowledging it.
Let's talk about Youth Unscripted, about what that program's about and about some of the different programs that you have. And then we're going to talk about Band in Boston. Who wants to talk about that? Youth Unscripted.
Yeah, I'll take that one because I'm actually,
Ollie, yeah.
I'm the director of Youth Unscripted. And that is a program that started because originally we did not see high school students regularly in our workshop series. And it became sort of like an urban improv for high school students who wanted to do it and signed up for it. And actually it is a paid program for them. They are stipended for attending and being part of it because the mindset is that you are making your community better by committing your time and emotional labor to talking about issues that are happening and affecting your community, creating art about those things and about what inspires you in that way. And then after that, it's about sort of breaking into groups based on what the kids really want to do or learn about, and create art and devise sort of end of the year show. You learn what you want to learn and you do what you want to do. We're not going to make you go and be in a play or learn lines or do something that you don't want. You tell us what's resonating with you and try it out. And that's what you do. And that's what we come up with.
That's amazing. It's amazing. I want to talk about, it's called Band in Boston. It's a musical performance. It's coming up. Tell us about this. How did it come to be and who's involved in it?
Band in Boston actually was the yearly sketch comedy review that the program came up with, 25 years ago? Silly, watching the mayor, put on a wig and do play Queen Elizabeth or whatever it was. they'd have scripts in hand and everybody would have a laugh and there's appetizers and it was a party, you know? Right. Then COVID happened. I ended up writing a virtual version of Band in Boston last year. My thing is writing musicals, and I have a lot of trust in that. And so we did a virtual, pre-recorded musical. We had Steve Colbert close it, and I phoned in. I asked my old friends to come in and help out, and he closed it, and it was a great show. And we're doing it again this year, kind of out of necessity because we couldn't be live. So again, we were just kind of going with the same formulas, having me try to figure it out but I have a producing partner, a great filmmaker. And then we've got the ensemble. We've got the teachers this year who are in the schools singing a number. We have our Youth Unscripted students kind of in there. It's a little bit of everything. It's a hodgepodge of all of the community having fun and raising money.
Well, speaking of those kinds of things, okay, so if I'm a teacher, if I'm a parent, if I'm a school, how do I take this program and bring it to my school? And I guess I was going to ask you too, do kids who've gone through the program then become mentors and bring it to their schools?
Not only that, kids who have gone through the program are now teaching artists with us, right? Mm-hmm. We've got Juliana Arroyo, who's he went through the program and we were able to, he found us and that's just happened. But you know, the basic, I hate to, the basic drill is like rehearsalforlife.org website. And then there's just a lot of word of mouth, and we're teaching kids as young as, you know, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, what it is. Adults need to know a little bit more about these things. We just did a training for people who are learning to be a second year doctors. We've done training for teachers, parents, and everything you've said, Ed, we have been all over the map, but the school system and our partnering with Boston Public Schools is our main identity, I think.
I need a kit. I'm looking for the kit that I can bring around, and I'm sure there are parts of this that we can use. We always do this on the show, and I'll ask each one of you, what is a skill that you wish that you had known as a kid, or something that you wish you had learned as a kid looking back now?
I guess I'll go since I'm the one unmuted. So if, you know, if I had magic wand, could go back in time and give one piece of advice to my past self, it would be that you are allowed to keep standing up for yourself. And if that comes in the form of saying no to someone, if that comes in the form of letting someone down, if you will, then it's worth it, because your sense of self and the value that you give your self-worth is the value that holds, that is the value that that carries with you for the rest of your development.
Yeah, I think for me, I wish I had known about multiple intelligence theory and been exposed to multiple intelligence-based teaching before, because I was a kid, like a lot of our kids, who struggled a lot in school and was convinced that, you know, I'm bad at this and I'm not smart. School's not for me. I'm not going to be able to ever do this.
So my style of learning might be different. I might learn better by listening. I might learn better by seeing. I might learn better by tactile. I might learn better by anything. And I need to figure out what that is. Talking.
Yeah. Learning about yourself, music. Me too.
I'll just say me too. Yeah.
I think this is the hardest thing, because kind of going to more where Jackson was talking about before with the power structure in school, it still holds. So no matter what your inner voice is, no matter what you think you are thinking, and you can be as clear as that is, if you dare to speak your truth, you know you're being vulnerable to isolation, to risk, exclusion. And it's still hard knowing that my feelings are valid and finding safe people to talk to, like the agency of finding safety. I wish I knew about that, how important that was.
Yeah, didn't know that I wasn't. I really thought that I was a bad person for having any feeling. And, you know, didn't know that it was okay to have them, and that they were temporary, and that they didn't mean that I was a bad person. And if I knew any of that, I could have saved myself $1 billion in therapy. I escaped to the movies all the time. I never went to school. I went downtown Boston to a theater owned by the mafia, and they played double features and was on Boylston Street. And then I went to the library and I read the newspaper. I just can't thank you enough. And I really appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate it so much. And I'm gonna find out everything I can find out. And you've really inspired me. And I look forward to the next time. And Faith Soloway, so nice to see you.
Great to see you again, Ed.
Pleasure. And yeah. Jackson Girard, excellent, excellent work. Great to see you. And
good to meet you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And Holly Tannauer. Okay. Yeah. I'm getting close. I'm not quite there. Okay, thanks a lot, everybody, and best of everything.
Thank you, and thank you for what you do. Fantastic podcast.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think that's great. And I would say to you, you have a daughter, you have a son, I have a daughter, and I tried to do this technique for parenting, because can you imagine if you could rehearse some of the situations you find yourself in as a parent. Let's take bedtime, for example. Well, if you could rehearse that, or you could rehearse any kind of situations that come up in your family, and you certainly can. And when I say rehearsal, this is not a perform. We're not on Broadway here. This is not a performance. And it doesn't matter how well you do it. What matters is that you're conscious and that you act out what you're thinking and feeling. That's the big thing about rehearsal for life. And so can you imagine if you could do some of the things that come up in your family, but you could rehearse them? You could do it with yourself. You could do it with your kid. You could do it with your spouse, with your wife. I mean, can you imagine?
I think we should do that, and everyone should do that, because we're really not prepared for it. We're not prepared for all the sudden conflicts that arise with children and family life. There are so many of them, right? And it's so often like unknown situations, conflict, emotions, strong emotions, and so on. We're not prepared at all. And I think I always thought that there should be conflict resolution classes for parents, for new parents, young parents. And this would be an essential part, because there's no way to practice it better or to prepare better for those difficult situations than if you acted yourself, like if you imitate it, if you act on it. Yeah,
if you want to learn about parenting, kids do it naturally. They're always role-playing. They're always playing it out. So if you want to have a great thing with your kids, ask them to do you. Ask them to impersonate you and how you sound, and then you do them.
Yeah, my daughter already does that. It doesn't really sound good.
You already do it. So they'll love it when she's annoyed, but they'll love it. But the time to do all of these things is when? When you're not in conflict.
Yes.
When you're not having the problem. When you're not going crazy. The time to do it is any time. And you can have fun. If you have kids, you can really be silly and play. And if you with your spouse, whoever, the best time to do it, and you don't have to do it perfectly. You can just play and have fun and be silly and be learning about how to prepare for this when it comes up in life. How do you prepare? You practice. You rehearse. That's all.
There should be another program like that for families, actually. And also, because it's so difficult to find the right moment and the right time and get instructions, there should be classes at the weekend for families where you can just come together, do that, act a bit, and play some theater and get into it. I think that would be very good occupation.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. And I think rehearsal for life is a great thing to remember. Life is to be lived, but it's also to be rehearsed, because otherwise you're going to keep doing the same things over and over again, and most of them don't work. Most of them don't work. Now, to learn more about Rehearsal for Life, you go to rehearsalforlife.org. And remember, you can see their big show. This is a fantastic musical that was written by Faith Soloway for Rehearsal for Life. And what they do is they pull together celebrities, members of the community, mayor, all these people from in and around Boston, and they have a big show every year. And this is a virtual event. And so you can see Jane Lynch from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and Glee, and Tim Meadows from Saturday Night Live and The Goldbergs. And you can see them in this virtual event, and you can reserve tickets at event.gives/Band in Boston. You can find out more about that show, Band in Boston, and about rehearsalforlife.org. Fantastic organization. Cannot say enough about them. Thanks to everybody there. And a special thanks to Jamie Ulrich for putting it all together. And that is our show for this week. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. And that's all I have to say. Jonathan, anything for you?
No, that's it. Thank you. It was really nice. Really great.
Cool. Okay. We're going to rehearse our lives. Here we are. We're going to go back. We're going to start rehearsing as soon as the show is over. Okay. I'm Ed Krasnick for Jonathan Vitter. We'll see you next time.